Praise God. Well, I just wanted you to pray. Tomorrow, I've been told they're going to break through that wall over there in the back. Not all of it, just part of it. And start bringing the sprinkler system through. That's why all those chairs are up. And also the little office area back here, I have to clear it out. That's my little space. So we're going to load everything up after service. If anybody's feeling macho, come on, help us. I got some stuff to load up in the truck and get it out of here because they're going to tear that ceiling out tomorrow. So a lot of those kind of things are happening. And, you know, it's a challenging time in which we live in. But I read something about Genesis 32. It said the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Anybody use that scripture this week? Man, I've been using that every day. It wasn't a matter of his outward appearance. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was left for dead. He was stripped of his dignity and his identity. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. He was up on a slavery auction block, naked, stripped down, no clothing, sold off to Potiphar's house, then falsely accused, then he was imprisoned. See, to everybody in this room, in the natural, you'd say that was not a successful man. But success is not based on whether you keep your coat. It doesn't really matter because the Lord was with him. And every time the devil tried to push him down, what happened? He goes into prison as a prisoner. And he's not there, I don't know how long, a couple days or whatever. And the captain of the guard hands him the keys. And he becomes the number two in the prison. You know, you cannot keep the anointing in a place that's restricted. And so I don't want you to think that just because circumstances are indicating around you, there is destruction happening. It may not be against you as much as it is God arranging the days ahead to bring you into a place where, like Joseph, he was to preserve the whole posterity of Israel. Sometimes what we go through is positioning us to bring other people into their destiny. So I'm not nervous tonight, although I continue to speak shalom and the King is here over all of these developments. And its appearance is that we're having some challenges with the construction crew. But you know what? I just keep speaking shalom and I keep believing that God is going to take care of it. How many will put yourself in agreement with me? Will you do that? Amen. All right, so let's get into the word tonight. It has nothing to do with my sermon, but hey, I brought some coffee with me tonight. I don't know if you wanted any or not, but I thought, you know, why not? I mean, you know, you don't mind, do you? Is that okay if I make a pot? Okay, good. I thought I'd make a pot of coffee. You know, normally, I often do this at night before I go to bed. I get something hot in my throat. I kind of like that, and hopefully there'll be enough for everybody that wants one, although I only have four cups. So I guess it's us four and no more, I suppose. I'm not real sure. But nonetheless, I want to share with you tonight a message that I believe is essential. You going to run up there and get it? Is essential to the body of Christ in this postmodern era. Because we have seen a redefining of what Christianity is. I've called it decaffeinated Christianity. I share this with you tonight because Acts 18 and 19 actually address this situation. In Acts chapter 18, we're introduced to some pretty important people. We see Apollos introduced to us. We see a couple of good friends, fellow tent makers of Paul, Priscilla and Aquila. They're introduced to Paul and introduced to us. And these characters of Acts chapter 18 are with purpose. So I want to look at this tonight as we apply it and lay it down in a generation of which we have been called to serve and to place the imprint of God upon the hearts of men. Notice verse 3. This is really a great verse. Acts chapter 18 and verse 3. It says, so because he was of the same trade. Say that with me, same trade.
Same trade.
Now I want you to notice that because it's important that we become part of the same trade. He stayed with them and worked, for their occupation was what? Tent makers. Paul, Priscilla, Aquila were tent makers. They were of the same trade. Now, before you think that Paul shouldn't have been making tents and he should have been dedicated full time into the ministry, let me take you into another step or another perspective of that particular verse. Because their same trade is actually a prophetic call to a generation. Because I believe God is calling people together like Paul, like Priscilla, like Aquila, like eventually Apollos, into the same trade so that we co-labor together under that commanded blessing that Pastor Tosi was talking about. And what was that trade? Paul gives us insight in his second letter to Corinth, chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. I won't read it all, but I want to read part of it. Paul says, "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, if you can grasp Acts 18, Paul is a tent maker. Priscilla and Aquila are a tent maker. And know that it's not just natural. In other words, they shared in the same trade of creating habitations for the living God. When I get up in the morning, I'm looking for another tent for God to dwell. I understand that my calling as a tradesman of the Word of God is to be like the Apostle Paul, that I am a tent maker and somehow going to have that tent be inhabited by the presence of the living God. Now, when I put this coffee on, you're probably going to begin smelling it. And I don't know if that does anything to you. If you're a coffee drinker, it probably does. But when I smell coffee, it makes me want to have some. I can't help myself. And maybe I'll do that in just a moment. But we're introduced to a man besides Priscilla and Aquila in verses 24 and 25, if you want to look at that scripture. And his name is Apollos. Now, he talks about being a Jew. He was born in Alexandria. He's an eloquent man. He's mighty in the scripture. He came to Ephesus. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. You might want to underline the word instructed. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of God. Now, here's a guy that was educated in the law, the Torah. He was educated in the word. He knew the God of Israel. He knew Yahweh. He understood the language. He was very well indoctrinated in the practices and the ordinances. And he was eloquent in it. As a matter of fact, the scripture says he accurately taught the things of the Lord. But then we read at the end of that verse something I want you to recite with me. Would you do it, please? Let's do it. Though he knew only the baptism of John. Now that gives us insight into an Apollos generation. An Apollos generation is a people who are knowledgeable about God, who maybe have been introduced to God, who have maybe gone to church, maybe gone to Sunday school. Some have even learned or been taught the Bible. But they have done it on a level the same that Apollos did, that he only knew the baptism of John. Now, is that a negative? No, that's not a negative, but it's not enough. Apollos had to be taught more accurately the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have an entire generation today that has decaffeinated Christianity. In other words, we've taken out the power and the presence and the fire of the Holy Spirit, and we've just given people a message about being good, of somehow pleasing God. Can I tell you tonight, you can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. You and I cannot please God on our own other than to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he only knew the baptism of John. Now, why is that important? Because he knew about repentance and making an effort to get in right relationship with God. But he failed in the full revelation of who Jesus is. I constantly am asked by people, how do I become better prepared for the coming of the Lord? There's nothing you can do outside of receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, having faith and confidence in His atonement, the covering of His blood. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else. You need a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Now remember the word instructed. That is a very important word and gives us insight into the problem Apollos is having. I see it in this generation, and I want to just reveal it to you out of the Word of God. The word instructed in the Greek is a simple word. It's katecheo, which means orally instructed. So Apollos was instructed in the things of God, but he was instructed by people talking over lunch, by people sharing their experiences, by people teaching one another around a campfire. In other words, orally instructed, or by him asking questions. Now, the Greeks perfected this way of learning during their rule and reign and domain. They would often have a scholar sit in a room and invite all the students and disciples to ask questions. That scholar would begin answering those questions, dialogue would break out, and it was a form of instruction. Here we see Apollos learn the things of God by verbal communication and by asking questions. Now you say, well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. But listen, Apollos has been taught by the word of mouth, by hearsay, and had not been taught on the level of revelation through the Holy Spirit. Big difference. In other words, Psalm 43 and 3. Put the scripture up, please. Look at this scripture. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. I want your light. I want your truth. The revelation about your word. I want revelation through the Holy Spirit. And every time I break open my Bible, I'm asking the Holy Spirit for revelation and understanding of the Word of God. Because I know that's how I'll be led. Here's the danger of this generation. Many Christians today are only getting their information by reading others' books and what they read on Facebook. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading another person's revelation. It's instructional. It is what Apollos did, and he was eloquent in it. But we must not leave it there. We must want the revelation for ourselves. I want to see Jesus in the Word of God. In other words, if I were to pour... What happened to my coffee? It quit on me. I turned it on. Look, I put in 10 cups. Well, I blew a fuse. I'm sorry. It's just going to be enough for me tonight. That is pretty strong. Yeah. But don't get nervous. It's decaf. I have no fear. Whew. You know the thing about decaf coffee? It won't wake you up. It won't perk you up. It'll never keep you up, and it can't get you up. But let me tell you something. Take a whiff of that, Chuck. Is that coffee? Does it smell like coffee, oh, yeah. Tony? Yeah? Does that smell like coffee to you? Any coffee drinkers in here? Does that smell like coffee, Leon? Pastor Leon? Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Would you say it's coffee? No, it's interesting, isn't it? It smells like coffee. Tastes like coffee. Right? It looks like coffee. It just doesn't do for you on the inside what coffee is supposed to do. You follow me? So what's the point? I like the taste. I like the feeling. I like sitting in my couch in my PJs and rolling up in the corner and picking up a good book and drinking a hot cup of coffee. Sure, that's nothing. That's no problem with that. But it is not having an impact on you. Now, there's been times I've been to a restaurant in the evening and I've learned lessons. I'll ask, they'll say, would you like some coffee? I said, yes, I would, but I want decaf. And they say, oh yeah, no problem. I'm going to make a fresh pot now. And they come back and they pour me a cup of coffee. But I find that 3 or 4 in the morning, when I'm still tossing and turning and rolling in my bed, that they didn't give me decaffeinated coffee, because all I wanted was what looked like, smelled like, and tasted like coffee. I didn't want the real thing, because I wanted to go to sleep when it got dark outside. Here's the problem with the Apollos generation. Decaf Christianity will never wake you up in a sleep state. Decaf Christianity won't stand you up in a fallen state. And decaf Christianity will never put you back together or make you up when you've come into a broken state. It looks like the church, but just a cheap imitation with no ability to do for you on the inside what Christianity was meant to do. How have we decafed our faith? What have we extracted that it keeps us awake when things get dark around us? That it puts us back together when we fall and we break into 1,000 pieces? What is it in our Christianity that if we do fall, we can get back up again, because we'll never lie down in defeat? There is the additive of the revelation of the Holy Spirit that is alive in your and my life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want the real deal. I like when they say, give me leaded. I'd like to go back and get the phone number of that waiter or waitress about 3 or 4 in the morning and call them and say, you didn't give me decaf. Because they'd be sound asleep. And I've seen them in the back kitchen. You know what they say? They won't know the difference. Just give them whatever you got. The facts are, I won't know at the time. I won't know at the moment, but over a period of time, it will become evident what I ingested. This in is the revelation of Jesus Christ, where you can hear preaching, you can read your Bible, you can begin to serve God. But let me tell you something. If the fire of God, the power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, revelation for yourself, is not an additive in that pursuit, in a period of time, you will fall asleep right on your feet. You will be out of touch. You will stay broken. You will get to the point where you become so discouraged that you'll not be able to carry on. You see, we have decaffeinated our faith by giving or extracting the power of revelation out of our walk with God. You see, in a moment of worship, ladies and gentlemen, it is not singing of songs. It is a moment of inspiration and revelation. When we were singing tonight and entering into the presence of God, I was getting inspired about His presence. I remember what one of the tunes or part that you were singing, and I stood here and I said, God, this is powerful. He said, yes, it's like Isaiah when he saw me high and lifted up. That's where I got that scripture. I was in my worship and revelation came to me about where I was that helped me understand where we all need to go. It wasn't because I read that in a book or saw somebody else regurgitate it on some social network that I thought I'll use that for church tonight. It came in a moment when God gave me revelation of the prophet Isaiah before the throne room of God, compiled upon the scripture you read, the prayers that you prayed, and the scripture and exhortation you gave, and the worship that you were leading us in. Suddenly, it came alive in me. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Apollos didn't know God like that. Apollos didn't know God like that. You see, we must know God in a deeper way. This is why in Acts 19, verses 1 to 6, it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Finding some of the disciples there, he asked them, verse 2, you can go on with me. He said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, no, we've not so much as even heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want you to relegate that verse to some experience ecclesiastically of speaking in tongues or the gifts of the Spirit. It's more than that. He wanted to know, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? In other words, did you get caffeinated? And they said, we didn't even hear there was such thing as leaded coffee. Then he said to them, into what then were you baptized? Well, into John's baptism. Aha, the same as Apollos' baptism. The same as Apollos' indoctrination. Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and began to prophesy. The speaking with tongues and prophesying is not a sign that you have received the Holy Spirit. It is the result of the presence of revelation of who Jesus is that now gives you prophetic unction to see your world different. Completely different than regulating and categorizing it to the 9 gifts of the Spirit. You and I are prophetic people walking around with utterances in our belly and at any moment are subject to release of those prophetic utterances. How can we become decaffeinated? How does this happen? Well, we get a little insight in Acts 18:1 because the Bible tells us in Acts 18:1 that after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. After these things. Now, remember what happened at Athens? It was an encounter at Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17. There was idolatry. Did you know there was more idolatry within the city limits of Athens than the entire empire of Greece at that time? There were over 100,000 temple prostitutes in the temple of Venus. 100,000. So Paul walks into this atmosphere. He speaks to them about the unknown God. He tries to create to them a hunger for God. But he departs from there, and after these things, he comes to Corinth. I believe Paul had a very difficult time at Athens. I believe he found himself to feel very alone. Have you ever felt very alone? Oh, man. Loneliness is dangerous. When you feel abandoned, when you feel like you're the only one, it's that prophet syndrome, like the great prophet Elijah that said, I'm the only one. And God said, no, I've got hundreds. You don't even know about them yet. I've got hundreds. But you feel like you're the only one. It is that the devil likes to isolate us. And when he's isolating us into loneliness, that's when he tries to decaffeinate us. He tries to extract from us our dependency on revelation. Because when you begin feeling discouraged, you believe futility sets in. And you think, what's the use? Secondly, previous setbacks. He left Athens because they demonstrated indifference to the divine message. Sometimes we give in because things don't work out. Did you know sometimes things don't work out? I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. All I know is sometimes things don't work out. And Paul, it didn't work out for him. He didn't have a revival. He didn't stay there 2 years to preach the gospel in Athens. He left the next day. He went to Corinth. He went on to Ephesus. There he spent years teaching the word of God. But it didn't work out in Athens. I want to warn you tonight, things are not always going to work out. But don't let that decaffeinate you. Don't let that extract from you your hunger and desire for revelation of the prophetic power and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Luke 19 is so real to me. That wasn't just a sermon Sunday. It was my testimony. It was what I needed. It was my survival package. I'm going in as the 70 to minister the word of the Lord, and I'm seeing all these circumstances like Joseph. But I know something. He said he was a successful man. And I must say one thing. Shalom. Wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. In every circumstance of my life. I don't care what it says. I don't care what they did. I'm successful. I might be standing here on the auction block. I'm successful. Why? Because the King is here. So Paul had to guard his extraction of revelation that flowed in his life. Sometimes present circumstances become that extracting agent. Or finally, pressing situations. You know, he stayed with Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila, however you want to say it. He stayed with them, and they worked together making tents. I can only imagine in the natural, I gave you the spiritual application of that. It's finding habitations for the Spirit of God. But he actually was making a natural tent. And you can only imagine, God, I'm not called to this. God, this is not my calling. I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm over here threading a needle to sew up another tent. Sometimes our situations resist us, and it's hard to make accomplishments. It's in those moments we can let go of the dependency on revelation. But friends, it's in those moments when we've got to press in and say, God, I've got to get a revelation of who Jesus is in this circumstance. I got to go away. I've got to get on my face before God because this pressing situation is trying to extract from me my dependency on prophetic reliance of who Jesus is. It's all strategy of hell. And Apollos needed to learn this. And so Paul took him to Ephesus. They came from Corinth. And he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? There's a generation who believes in God, but they're not operating on spirit revelation of who Jesus is. And so it's nominal Christianity. It's subpar faith. It's watered down gospel. It's cutting the edges off and smoothing the corners and making everybody happy. To keep people in the seats and keep the money flowing and having everybody like us and making it a popularity contest. You know, some people, if you can put this quote up for me, please. Some people will change when they see the light, but others will only change when they feel the heat. And you know what I've decided? I want the fire of God. Because without the fire, without the heat, I'm not prone to change. Because I'm human and it's easy for me to adapt to my circumstance. The only way that I'll change is if I feel the heat. I want the fire and the presence of God in my life so I don't become complacent, apathetical, so I don't accept where I've been as where God has planned for me to be. We need an encounter with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. That often comes with the right connections. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. Look at what happened to Paul, because Paul just came out of Athens. He was being pressed circumstantially. He was finding himself building and making tents in the natural. But in verse 5, two powerhouses, two hybrid Christians, Silas and Timothy. Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia. And Paul was compelled by the Spirit. His compelling of the Spirit didn't come until he got connected to Silas and Timothy. Silas and Timothy stirred him up. Silas operated in prophetic. Timothy was a son of an apostle. And when they came into his presence, something entered into Paul. And the Bible says he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And he hadn't done that until these guys got there. That's why you need Silas and Timothy's. I need hybrid Christians in my life. I've got to have people that provoke me with their worship. I've got to have people that provoke me with their hunger and passion and pursuit after God. They don't have to be accurate. They don't have to be right in everything. They don't have to have all their ducks in a row. I don't care if there's feathers everywhere. I just want somebody that pursues God in a greater way than I do. And I want them to come into my presence and provoke me. Because I know my human nature. I'll find the path of least resistance, just like you. That's who we are. That's our human nature. But watch this. Find people. Put that quote up. Find people who are going. Say it with me. Let's read it. Come on. Find people who are going and growing, walking and winning. That's all I want to know. After I know your name, hi, my name's Lou. Great. Let me ask you a question. Are you going and growing? Are you walking and winning? Then you my kind of people. But if you're stagnant, if you're a midget in your Christianity, if you're not walking, you're falling flat on your face, if you're losing and complaining, you're not winning, then you're my project. You're not my hybrid. You're my Apollos. You're another tent that I've got to make, but you are not the one that provokes me to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Jews. You follow it? You got to put people in categories. I better not do that. I was going to do that, but I don't think I better. I think I'm getting too, like, in your face. Huh? Am I getting too aggressive? I don't mean to get aggressive. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. It's the coffee. No, it's not the coffee. It's not the coffee. Ooh, that's a strong coffee, Chuck. I'm going to tell you right now. I can still taste it. Acts 18, verses 9 to 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul at night in a vision. Now this is the thing. See, you got to get a word from God for yourself. You got to get a word from God for yourself. And with all the challenges of what's happening in ministry or my life or around me, or it doesn't matter. I've got to get a word from God for me. And so Paul got a word from God. Look, the Lord spoke to Paul. You put your name in there. The Lord spoke to Louis. The Lord spoke to you in the night by a vision. And this is what he said. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Speak and don't keep silent. Look at the next verse. This is very important. For I am with you. Woo. Glory to God. And no one will attack you or hurt you. Then look at this last part. Here he goes again. For I have many people in this city. Because when you're thinking you're the only one, it's not true. In other words, God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. What are you doing? You're protecting your caffeinated spirit. You're protecting your caffeinated walk, your Christianity, your revelation and prophetic utterance. When I'm challenged by things not working out, I got to say, wait a minute, God is with me. This doesn't change anything. Secondly, God's going to protect me. 10 days ago, I go into my office in Lorraine, and I'm opening up mail, stacked that high. And I see a certified letter 8.5 by 11 manila envelope. And it's from the clerk of courts. And I think, what are you, a parking ticket or what's going on? Open it up, and it's a summons. I'm being sued again for thousands of dollars. You say, well, what did you do? I didn't do anything. Well, how do they name you in a suit? Because back in 2007, I was on the original board of directors for a school that used our facility. But when they rented our facility, I resigned because of a conflict of interest. 8 years later, no, seven, I don't know, 5 years later, 5 years later, a teacher in that school receives an inappropriate picture of a student on his phone and passes the picture to another person. He gets caught, arrested, he is sentenced, and the mother of the student sues the school. All the teachers, all the board members from day one, which includes yours truly. So when you read those things, your first reaction is to act as though you're a cup of decaf and have no power, no revelation to address those attacks. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not telling you that tonight for sympathy or even for your prayers, because the Lord is with me. And no one will attack and hurt you. Don't you think the devil said, yeah, you can hardly wait for the paper to get a hold of this. Pastor, church on the North Coast, being sued with this inappropriate pictures being passed. Like as if I'm going to be implicated by it, you know, because I was associated with it. And the devil likes to lie to you and tell you all these things. And I say, wait. Shalom. The King is here. No, God's going to protect me. Because I get a word from God about it. Was I shaken? Yeah, for about 10 minutes. Did I do the right things? Yeah, I got my attorney. Yeah, I filed it, you know, whatever. I did all I need to do with that. But I had to get a revelation, Scott. That moment needed a prophetic revelation of what to do. And as I got it, there's like a flat line of peace. It's the craziest thing in the world. I got a correspondence from the attorney today, and it's like telling me what's going on and everything's working this way, and they might go to the insurance company and they're going to defend it and blah 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 whatever. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, delete, I don't need to look at that, because I have peace about it. I'm not even calling him back. I didn't reply. I didn't even save the email, because I don't need it, because I've got something in me that will do for me what I cannot do myself. You following what I'm saying? Either we're going to serve God on that level in this generation, or we're not. And if you are serving God on that level in this generation, then your role and my role is to go make some tents. Find an Apollos and do what? Get him on the same level. That's really the calling of God upon the body of Christ today, is we've got to go find Apollos, because he's eloquent. They've got understanding. They're gifted. I sat down this afternoon with two, I don't know what you call them, techies. They build websites. They work on computers, and they're doing all this stuff, and they're talking to me in language. They're speaking English, but I did not understand what they were talking about. And they said, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we'll put it in this file, and we'll do that file. What's your username, and how do we get to that? I said, wait a minute, I don't know. Let me email Matt. I have no idea, you know. But the point being is, God has people in this city. God has people to put around you to make up for that which you have no knowledge of. And you and I have a generation to reach. So here's what happens. God's with you. God will protect you. God will see what you can't see, many in the city. And then he does things you can never even think about doing. I got to hurry, because it's getting late. Verse 12 and 13 is a crazy verse. When Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews, with one accord, rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." Now, isn't that interesting? Paul gets a revelation of who Jesus is based on the hybrids that come into his life because he knows he's got to flow in the power of the Holy Ghost. He preaches Jesus to the Jews. They get upset. They arrest him. They bring him before the proconsul. But God gives him a word and said, "I'm with you. I'll protect you. And I'll go and do what you can't do." And here's how it all ends up. Paul's being released. Read it for yourself. Paul's being released. And those who took him to court are run out. And the one who started the mess, he got beaten. Do you follow what I'm saying? There was a turnaround. There was a Holy Ghost turnaround. God said, "I got your back, Paul. They think they're going to take you to jail, put you away, beat you, and throw you away in a prison. No. I'm going to turn it on them. I'm going to release you. And the one who actually brought the accusation, it's going to be another Haman experience." I have every confidence that you cannot win on an anointed woman or man of God. You can't connive your way over them, under them, around them. You can falsely accuse us. You can imprison us. You can talk about us. You could do all those things. But let me tell you, soon I'll have the whole set of the keys of the jailhouse hanging around my belt. Soon I'll be elevated to number two in the land and given a revelation of how to provide bread for the people of the nations. It doesn't matter. You can talk about me and sell me off to slavery. I understand my destiny because there will be a day when you will come just like I saw it. The sheaves bowing down. In other words, you will come and bow down, and I will give you bread and weep over your soul, and I won't even take vengeance over you because I understand who I am by revelation and prophetic impartation. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you know who you are tonight? My God, I'm with some powerful people in this room. Whew. I got to say to a generation, "I believe in you. Apollos, I believe in you. It's a generation of seekers. I'm not going to leave them where I found them." Priscilla and Aquila knew he had to grow and become knowledgeable, full of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So they invested in him. How do I know they invested in him? Because in 1 Corinthians 16:19, it says, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Apollos became a church member in their house. And as a result, many believe, I don't know what I believe, many believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. Many believe Paul did. I'll leave that up to you to decide. We don't know much about his future, but I'll tell you this. It was prophetic and full of revelation. I'm going to close with this one statement. If you can put it up on the screen, please. The Holy Spirit's become the most unexplored continent of the Christian faith. It's time for us to go west. It's time for us to cross the great divide. It's time for us to break out of that which is comfortable and familiar. It's time for us to say, "No, thank you. Give me leaded coffee." It's time for us to say, "You know what? I'm going to be an adventurous. I'm going to be an explorer of the Christian faith." And God is seeking those who would venture to explore and discover all that he contains. Tonight, let it be known, November 7th, 2012, that I am not impacted. I'm not moved by what I see or hear. I have an agenda. Undauntedly, I will pursue it. Lest I go by myself or I have just two companions like Silas and Timothy. I will explore the far-flung regions of the continent called revelation by the Holy Spirit. That God is seeking those who would venture to make that discovery and all that he contains. And friends, that's what I'm asking you to do. Why? Because there's so many Apollos that are coming into the house of God that have to be given the opportunity to get their own revelation. And we have to teach them. We can't allow them just to rely on church experience or nominal faith. The fire of God has got to begin to burn bright in all of our lives. Amen? Let's stand up. Thank you for giving me this time tonight. Appreciate it so much. Thank you, Lord. I want you to just take a moment before the Holy Spirit and ask him, do I operate in revelation or do I regurgitate what I read and what I hear? Have I learned by rote how to do this thing called Christianity, or am I compelled like the great Apostle Paul? Is there something inside that stirs and moves me? Praise God if there is. And if you're tonight facing pressures from without, pressures from within, discouragement that's trying to extract from you that dependency on revelation, get a holy resolve tonight. Get a holy resolve. So with me right now, posture yourself before the presence of the Lord. Make that covenant. Renew that covenant right now. Renew that covenant that you're going to be an adventurer. You're going to be an explorer. You're going to be those that go to the far-flung corners of the revelation of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And that you won't stop until you pursue him with everything within you. That you'll look for another Apollos. That you'll build and make another tent. And pour into that place the habitation of the living God. Tonight, Lord, I commission this house. I speak it over this house. Help us, Lord, not to become another church, another average place of worship. Help us not to fall into the trap of just being correct for the generation that we serve, but rather that we would be an empowering place, an agency of God's Spirit. Lord, that it will wake us up, it will perk us up, it will keep us up, it'll move us, it'll energize us. Oh God, oh God, oh God, tonight I rebuke spirits of apathy. I rebuke a spirit of complacency. Oh God, I rebuke that thought that it's good enough. No, Lord, we pursue you tonight with everything within us. We ask it, Father, in the mighty, most powerful name of Jesus. While your head is bowed, may I ask the question tonight? Are you right with God? Have you given your life to him? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? His death on the cross, his blood poured out for you and me, that it is the propitiation for your sin. It's the covering to give you right standing with God, that you might receive the righteousness of God tonight. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, you can do it tonight. And I'd love to pray for you. There are a lot of people in here that would like to pray for you. I know it's a Wednesday night and we're probably all family here, but I'm going to ask anyway. If you were to die today, you know unequivocally that you would go to heaven and not hell. You say, Pastor, I'm not real sure, but I'd like to be sure. Then I'll pray for you. All you got to do is acknowledge your need for prayer. If you would just hold your hand up high enough so I could see it, and then you could put it back down. You don't have to hold it up long, just long enough to identify it. And we're going to pray for you. Amen. I believe everybody this night is right with the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. God, empower us tonight. Give us a hunger for prophetic revelation in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you for being here tonight. Thanks for coming. Thanks for praying. Thanks for believing. Thanks for giving. Oh, we didn't give. If you want to give tonight, please do that. That's how we do what we do. Without your gifts, we can't do what we do. We'd get no government checks here. It all comes from God's people. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. I'm going to share with you a message on Sunday. Occupy. Ooh, it's going to be good. Can't hardly wait. We'll see you then. Live right, love everybody, pray hard.